Have that dump button ready, because I honestly have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth.
Get ready for takeoff.
There is no way that I'm tapping out now.
You're listening to Unkillable.
If you didn't kill us last night, we are unkillable.
Hosted by Brandon Tierney.
Of course they win. Of course they win. What's happening, everybody? Welcome to the Unkillable Pod, episode number 4, and we got to win. All right, so I mean, this is pretty interesting. First of all, I'm absolutely shot from all the stuff with the Yankees, and for the last month, the Yankees and the Mets and the Jets and the Giants. Like, my sporting brain is fried. I'm just kind of taking you to where I was at the start of this game. Sit down, and I'm like, all right, here we go. Let me send out the customary tweet apologizing to America for having to watch the Jets play football on a national stage again. And, you know, you watch the first half, no points. Uniforms look good. The unis look great. And by the way, the end zone, everything else looked good. The football wasn't good, but the end zones were great. The uniforms were tight. The midfield logo, fantastic. But no points. The play with Curly, oh my God. And then, you know, early on, Rodgers, miscommunication. It's like, here we go. You know, Al Michaels with his corny jokes about the ghost and Aaron and Sam Darnold. You know, I'm sitting there saying, all right, man, got to take it on the chin. And then they win the game. And you know what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to lean into this. I'm going to lean into the win. Now, I'm not going to go nuts. But I'm going to lean into this win. First of all, Aaron Rodgers threw some sick passes. The catch, Garrett Wilson's second touchdown, was the play of the year. You saw a little flash from Reddick. Devontae Adams got on. You got in the end zone. There were actually some good things here. And when I say I'm going to lean into this, guys, think about what this pod is for. Like, eventually there's going to be bridges to be built to, you know, who do they hire, general manager, coach, draft, and we'll do all that stuff in the offseason. But again, and eventually I'll stop saying this, but I don't want to assume that everybody knows, the unkillable mantra was when I went bonkers after the Bills game, okay, Rodgers goes down. I just had it up to here. And to me, there's two ways to be, honestly. We have to be a realist. I mean, so there's really three. There's a realist, but then there's, you know, partially skewing optimistically. And then there's just always downtrodden. Nothing's going to ever work for us. We're eternally cursed because this guy's jersey behind me, he won before I was even born. The Jets are eternally doomed. I can't do that. So here we are with the unkillable stuff. And when I say that I'm going to lean into it, right? I'm going to lean into it. And I'm going to take you on a little ride. You ready? Let's go to the standings, baby. So now, again, there's the two ways to look at this. Before, and I actually did this, when the Jets took the lead and there was still time in the game, I'm like, let me just look at the standings, all right? Top to bottom, AFC. All right, Titans are number 16. Jets, before the win at 2-6, were number 15. And then I'm like, all right, they're gonna probably find a way to win this game. And at that point, the Jets will be 3-6. And obviously, now all these other teams have to play this weekend. But you look at the 3-4, at least 4, maybe 5. You'll see where I'm going. The teams in front of them, they're going to jump these teams. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. I know they lost to the Patriots. They're going to wind up with a better record than the Pats. They play the Jaguars, and that very well might decide, you know, where these two teams finish. But do I think the Jets, after tonight, will finish ahead of the Jaguars? I do. Do I think the Jets will finish ahead of the Raiders? I do. Do I think that the Browns will finish ahead? The Jets will finish ahead of the Browns? I do. All right. So right there, you go from before the official win tonight, 15, all the way up to 10. And then that depends upon what Miami does. And then even 9, oh, I can't believe I'm doing this. Then even 9, you get to the Bengals, who are 3-5 in a tough matchup next week with the Baltimore Ravens. And then you start to even peek ahead, like, all right, well, you know, who's 8? Who's 7? Yeah, I'm going to, like I said, I'm leaning in. I'm going to play the game. Well, the Colts are the 8th seed right now, and they're 4-4. And then right in front, and they play the Colts, and I think the Jets will beat them. That is, I believe, December 1. It's definitely at MetLife. And then the Chargers, and then the other 6 teams, I think they have no chance to catch. it's just, you know, to me, this is, I don't want to say it's a point of inflection, and I'm not going over the top, and I understand that this season, in large part, well, up until now, it's been atrocious, and in all probability, will not end the way we want it to end. I'm under no illusions there, but I just, you know, I think about this, and I'm like, man, if we can't even enjoy a win, and I don't mean a win like last year's Patriots game in the rain when they finally end the skid against the Pats. And I know some of you enjoyed that, and I'm not here to take away your joy. I'm here to enhance your joy, all right? I'm here to add to your joy however I can. But for me, there is a point of demarcation where I'm like, all right, this is not good for the Jets in terms of draft choices or, you know, certain coaches, if they squeeze out an extra win or two late in the year, even though it's meaningless in terms of doing anything with the playoffs, maybe they'll be retained and I don't really want them retained. So I admit there have been points where not only have I rooted against the Jets, and I own it, and I don't care what anybody thinks about that. That's my way of doing business. That's me. You know, we have to be our unique selves. You know, do you when it comes to the Jets? I'm doing me. And there's been times over the years, and last year's finale against the Pats was one of them, where not only did I root against them, but I bet against them. Because if you can make money, is my theory with this team. If you can make money against a team that is perpetually awful, and again, I don't mean in September or October. I'm talking season over. It's already done. There's nowhere to go. If I can make a few, you know, a few schadoles, I'm going to try to make a few schadoles. And I did that game. Now, that's different because that's the season is over. But if you can't enjoy a win on the last day in October, what are we doing here? I mean, why are we even wasting anybody's time? Like, if you're one of those, and there's many of you, and maybe eventually you'll be converted or semi-converted or whatever over the months and years with the Unkillable Pod, I'm not here to brainwash you. I'm going to level with you, and it's when it's bad, I'm going to take a wrecking ball to it. But I'm going to try to find a sliver of hope, all right? And they won the game. I mean, they won the football game. And they didn't win, you know, 6-3. What they did, they did well. Now, listen, I understand that with no Stephon Diggs, with no Nico Collins, with the offensive line for the Houston Texans, got Tunsil. Did you see the stat tonight? Tunsil has 13 penalties already. It's the most in football. So, with the two really good, one star, one good receiver out, of course the game got immeasurably easier for the Jets going in. Maybe one of the reasons they were slight favorites. Then you look at the O-line, and the Tunsil penalties aside, they've given up the most sacks in football, and they are tied for the most pressures in football so far at this point in the season. And you know, there's reasons why the Jets were able to do certain things. It's not like the Jets are so amazing. I'm not telling you that. But I got news for everybody. As we fixate on all of our myriad issues, right? A lot of other teams out there suck too. And several of those teams that suck, and very well might suck more than our team, we're playing them soon. And I don't know what the hell's going to happen. You know, I don't. I don't really know which way the Colts go or which way the Chargers go. I got news for you. Even now there's tiebreakers, and they've got a couple of wins more than the Jets. Talking about the Broncos. I mean, is it inconceivable for Denver to lose 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4? Of course it's not. So, you know, it's been a very interesting, twisting, winding road so far. And, you know, the one thing, I was looking at some of the losses here, right? And like these mental gymnastics that we go through. Oh, yeah. By the way, quick aside, as the comments are coming in, my man Evan is on top of it. I'll pull him in soon. He'll read some. I'll address some in a bit. But like the Broncos game was just sheer. Like what the fuck was that? How did we just lose that game? The Vikings game was different level of disappointment because, you know, I didn't think they were good coming into the season the way they lost. But the Vikings are good. But they really should have won. So that was a different energy. The Bills game, like my where all of our mindset was, hey, you know, it's go time. Jets got to start winning some games here. And if they win that game, which of course they didn't, That was the divisional game. Like, if the Jets beat the Bills, now there's a path to divisional supremacy. They lost. There's no chance they win the division. This is all about the last wild card spot. And then you look at the Steelers game. I admit, the Steelers game and the Patriots game, the last couple here, the Patriots, I just assumed that they would win. I put no energy into, like, sitting down as I got ready to watch that game. I will admit, my energy level was low. That's like the fan equivalent of just throwing your helmet on the field and expecting to win. Man, I don't know why I was so brazen watching this shit show, but I was, and they didn't win. But the Steelers game, it was like Yankees, a little bit before that, Mets, so much baseball. And I went into that game thinking that they could win. I did. And I was all into every snap. And when that game was over, you know, I still thought there was a modicum of hope. Obviously, you beat the Patriots, and then you look at the rest of the schedule, and I thought there was maybe a path to maybe carving out something relevant. After the Patriots game, I mean, that's it. I definitely checked out. I told you on the pod, it's over. Now, do I believe that they wind up making the playoffs? I don't, because they have zero margin for error, right? Zero. But I'm not going to lie to you. Tonight sucked me in a little bit, and I'm going to enjoy the win. And it's nice to see a couple of touchdowns. And I know that there's something weird, the psychology of being a fan of this team. It's self-torture. It's almost, it's self-loathing. And I was going through it in, you know, spurts early on. Again, no points in the first half. You know, Al Michaels with his corny-ass joke about the ghost with Darnold and Curly dropping the ball. What else? Right before the end zone, Morstead banging a punt down to the two, and then 98 yards later, touchdown, Houston. And I'm sitting there, and I dropped a few tweets. You could catch them. I mean, I was kind of mocking us, and I was mocking our situation. But then I'm like, all right, they might win the game. So now let's do a little math, and then we'll get a couple of your reactions from Evan. Evan, one sec, buddy. So for the right now, where'd I put that? Hold on a sec. Oh, my God. I got so many freaking things here. There we go. All right. So they're 3-6. There's obviously, I can't believe I'm doing this. They're 3-6. There's 8 games to go. Now, you go 8-0, you're 11-6. 100% in. That's not happening. Hate to be the bearer of bad news. 0.0%. They're not going 8-0. If you go 7-1, which they're not, you're 10-7. The sliver of hope is, can you go 6-2? And if you go 6-2 and you get a couple of the breaks and you beat the Colts and you beat the Jaguars, and not that the Jags will be there anyway, but I mean, you can't really lose to almost anybody. So you have to beat them, because you'll probably lose up in Buffalo and you'll probably lose again in Miami. Now the two is back. So when you look at this, I don't think it is like cavalier to say that the Jets have a puncher's chance to go 6-2, which gives them a Giants-like 2022 season of 9-8. And the difference, and, you know, I'll engage in this for a moment, the thing that, you know, is a little appealing is that if they squeeze in, I told you I'm leaning in, so I'm leaning. If they squeeze in, I'm not going to say that they're going to waltz into Baltimore and beat Lamar Jackson and the Ravens and stop their running attack, which they can't stop any running attack. They're going to stop that? No. But, you know, do I think they'd win up at Buffalo? No. But, like, divisional games, hey, you never know. You know, you can't go into Pittsburgh and beat them. You could. So there's a little window, and what we're looking at is, now you got to go out west, you got to beat the Cardinals, then it's the Colts at home, then it's a bye. Now, here's where it gets interesting. If they can just will themselves to the precipice of relevance, if they can win these two games, all right, they can win them, and you're 5-6, now you have the bye, and now you get Aaron Rodgers off his feet and his Achilles, which is probably still screaming, even though it's surgically repaired. and his knee and his hamstring and everything else that's hurting him, which is probably every part of his body. What is there? I did this with my kids when they were little. What are there? Maybe somebody text us or send this message in. I think there's 226 human bones, if I remember that. That was from during COVID, where we all became teachers, and I'm just searching. Meanwhile, they're like 2 and 3 years old at this point. I'm just searching for, I'm doing like antonyms, synonyms. I'm just writing shit on the board. I'm like, for the first 2 days, it was fun. After 2 days, I was out of content. So yeah, after the bones and the stars and the antonyms and the homonyms, which I don't think I've heard that word since fifth grade Catholic school. Oh my God. But I'm feeling good. I am actually happy and I am enthused, and I know my guy Evan. Now, he didn't just put this in. Get yourself in here, Ev. He didn't put this in just because Garrett Wilson went bonkers. Look what my man's rocking. Not Keyshawn. Bet, and I love
Bet. Five.
Number five. Stand up. Let's go, number five. Look at five.
Let's go.
Look at that freshie. That is a good looking jersey. Hey, we got to win, buddy. We won.
We got to win. It was a miracle. Woo! That was crazy in the beginning, but I was like, oh my God, we're back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. I use the term the mental gymnastics that we go through. You know, like I sat down, and I'll be honest, the game started, and I had a lot of work to do. I wound up doing, not that it matters, but I had a couple of interviews for like other sports stuff, whatever. I just had a lot of things on after my show today on the Fan, and you know, we had some people over. Of course, Halloween, which turns into a 5-day circus for really like a 5-week circus. I mean, Halloween goes on forever, and I'm not like a Grinch or a grump, but it just stretches out too long. So today was the culmination of Halloween, as you know. Happy Halloween, everybody, by the way. So we had some people here, and then, you know, like my son went with his buddies, my daughter went with her friends, and then there was a big party, and you know, whatever. And so I had the house to myself, and I literally sit down like this for the Jets game. I'm like this. I was half asleep. I mean, I didn't fall asleep. I got my notes, half-heartedly jotting shit down. And then when I saw the Garrett catch, not the first one, the second one, I'm like, man. Like, because I've been a little down on him, and I've said, whether it's on tweets or certainly on this pod and on my show, on the Fan, like up until the last 2 weeks, I've noticed some regression with him. Not stark regression like Sauce, who is just, I mean, week to week, Sauce Gardner's getting worse. Let's call it for what it is.
Yeah.
But I've been fair. I think I've been accurate. But I love Garrett Wilson, and I didn't want to have that position. But I'm going to tell you what I see. So when he made that play and they reviewed it, I'm like, that shin may have actually dragged before the knee. And then they go to break. They come back. Touchdown. I'm like, you know, fuck it. Let's win. Let's just win the game and have a little fun. And here we are. Third win, baby.
There we go. There we go.
All right. Read a few things for me, Ev.
All right. So we got one from this guy, Nick Backers, because we were like, there's a lot of people talking about like the run they need to make is they need to get to that Dolphins game, just keep winning. And then when they get to that point, would you take Aaron Rodgers over to a Tagovailoa? That was one of the questions that I thought was kind of an interesting one.
It is an interesting one. I'll answer it now, just so you know. So to get to the Miami game without like unscathed is what they're saying. That's beat the Cardinals on the road, beat the Colts at home, go through the bye week, we win Seattle at home. So it will be three games. All right. Then it's at Miami. I could give you kind of a nuanced answer. Is it Tua for the next 3 years? Is it Tua for the next time they play each other?
Yeah.
I would never attach. I've got great respect for Tua. I've met him. I met his parents at the Super Bowl a couple years ago when I was with Tiki. What a genuine, humble warrior. Like, I really profound respect for that young man. And his parents were great. Very close-knit, as you know, if you watch him at Bama or you know anything about the culture, great kid. So I'm rooting for him, except when he plays us. Long-term, I can never attach anything to him because – he's one more concussion away from retirement. Yeah. And even if he stays healthy, he's good, but he's never, in my opinion, he might have a year or two where there's really good stats. He's not Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar, young Rodgers. He's not that guy. So but Rodgers most of this year has looked fairly cooked. So I don't really think there's a good answer, but I'll tell you this, you know, if the Jets get a little mojo, I guess my answer would be Rodgers reluctantly. I don't love the answer, but I guess I'll say Aaron, I guess.
Yeah.
You know,
you gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah.
You gotta pick somebody. What else you got?
This guy has a very long name. I think it's obviously a username. So it's Chief Joe S. Wiggum in Donuts We Trust. He said, did the cayenne pepper and water actually help Aaron Rodgers?
Well, it didn't in the first half. I was wondering if he took some Benadryl or some NyQuil. I don't know if he mixed that in there with the cayenne peppers. I'm going to actually try that. I'm very tempted to try that. I am. I think I'm going to try that. Evan, I think I'm going to try that when I coach this weekend.
Yeah.
We got a playoff baseball game in football. I don't coach his football team. Coach his baseball team. Coach third base. I'm usually energetic, as you can probably tell.
Yeah.
I want to see if this thing gives me a little playoff mojo. I'm gonna try some.
Morstead's doing it, and he's dropping bombs punting. So
yeah, hey. He hasn't been as good this year. More last year he was amazing.
Yeah.
This year, yeah, but I like Morstead. I got you. Yep. The OG helping out the other OG.
Yeah. There you go. And then somebody else asked, and this was the other main question. And there's, of course, a lot of comments about the defense having 8 sacks. Like, could they be back to life? But this comment was, could you live in this moment right now with making the playoffs, but then getting blasted in the first round? Or would you rather just not make the playoffs?
No, I'd rather make the playoffs. Let me address it directly. I mean, what kind of question is that? We're Jet fans. Nah, we're good, man. We're all right. We'll sit this one out. You know what? We steal the spotlight so much. We're so Jet. I'm going to be so selfless that I'm going to willingly bow out of a playoff game so other fan bases can get to enjoy it, since we know it so well. That it's become old and tired and I no longer need it. That's really the dumbest question we've got on the pod now ever in the first few episodes. Now I will say this. I'm kind of whatever his name was. Was that the long name?
This was like it was kind of formed with like multiple different people like asking each other.
I got you. So I'm messing around. But I mean, it is a dumb question because we're Jets fans. You got to make the playoffs anytime you can.
Yeah.
Now, if you said. And you framed it this way, and maybe this is what they were thinking in their defense, but didn't write it or did. I'll verbalize it for them just to ponder it. Like, what's more appealing pertaining just to this year? To make the playoffs, I'll say at 9-8 and get whacked and dumped in round one, nothing. Or win only a couple of games, draft top 5, and reset the entire future. Like, that would be more, that would be a tougher one to answer, but I still say playoffs. You know why? Because if they get there, that means Rodgers isn't totally done, which gives you, you know, again, we'll push this down the road one more year, means he plays next year. And at that point, if they win 9 or 10, which is what it's going to take, maybe even 10, but at least 9 to be a playoff team, that means Rodgers is getting the team in the end zone and I'm enjoying some fun Sundays. And I got to be honest with you. Like, it was so sad that I actually had to point it out to my son.
Yeah.
So we're watching the game and he goes from hyped up crazy person to sugar is now done. And he's like this on the couch, but he's into it. He's a young crazy sports fan, and you probably heard me reference him on The Fan a couple times here. He knows ball and he plays ball and he loves the Jets, right? He actually cheered, not when Morstead, when it was down to the 2.
Yeah.
Like, it was the snap. I forget which punt it was. We were no points yet for us. He, as soon as he gets it over, he's like, oh, all right, well, good punt. I'm saying to myself, this poor kid, he's cheering punts. What other fan, 9-year-old boy or girl, is like, oh, all right, good fun. All right. Because there's nothing else.
Yeah.
So this is another way that I answer the question, because as a dad, you know, I somebody asked me, came up, I'll take a quick aside and then I'll circle back to where I'm going. It's all tied in. Now, Sal, not even a caller, but Sal brought it up today. He's like, all right, would you have rather maybe gotten swept by the Dodgers as a Yankee fan or lose last night in excruciatingly painful fashion. Now, I get it. It's a good question because without the volatility, the emotional volatility, it's an easier, you know, all right, season's over rather than, wow, what the hell just happened? So it was a good question. My answer was, if they get swept, then I don't get the memory that I got the night before when I went to the game with my son, who, and we're in Jersey, and he plays shortstop. Volpe, Jersey kid, plays shortstop, hits a grand slam. And I don't really take a lot of videos during games. Like, I get a few pictures, and I want to watch the game and do the memory with him. I'm not like, ooh, look at us, look at us.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I put the video on Volpe, and you actually hear me say, oh, come on, Jersey, let's go. And as soon as the pitch is hit, literally, come on, Jersey, let's go. He swings, and it's not that I'm proud. You actually hear me say, get the fuck. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. I'm like a lunatic, like, get the fuck out of here. And then it's over. I put it on him, and he's going bonkers. So, yes, losing in the first round of the playoffs would suck. But I don't want him, and I don't want other young, not just about my sons, about Jet fans. I don't want young Jet fans to get so disheartened and disenfranchised and just so disgusted that they do what a lot of kids, unlike my generation, do. And that's, well, I love Mahomes. I'm a Chiefs fan. Or I like Steph Curry. I like the jersey. I'm a Warriors fan, even though I live and I should be a Knick or a Net fan. That's not happening in this house. You root for who daddy says you root for. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll take the playoff loss, even if it's a painful one. Hit me with another one, Ab. What do you got?
All right. So we got this one from J-Mac, and he said, considering that Patterson had a pretty good night as the kicker replacing Zuerlein, Patterson, what do you think our record would be if this guy did what he did today in the past couple of games?
It's maybe the exact opposite. Can we start with that? So they're 3-6, maybe 6-3, possibly 7-2. Zuerlein. Don't get me going on that guy. kickers, man, they ruin everything. Tiki always says, I can't, Tiki's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's like, I hate kickers. I'm like, man, that doesn't really sound like you. He's like, I hate him. He's like, think about it. And I'm not thinking this, like, even though I know what he meant, but he's like, dude, we beat the heck out of each other. We're lifting weights. We're practicing. And these guys are on the side flipping balls, spinning, doing all these, and then just prancing out and trotting out. And when they hit it, it's great. Like if you're an old timer, like Medetary or somebody like that. All right, cool. When you're a guy who's just, when you lose because of that guy and you bang bodies for 60 minutes and some dude who does nothing all week loses you the game, that's an empty feeling. But maybe not 6-3, but I mean, you definitely have 5 wins. There's no question. And now that I think about it, maybe the 5. I mean, they definitely would have beat Denver. Yeah, I think actually I'm prepared to say 6-3. I'm going to stand by it. Yep.
It's insane. I think those were the main questions. There was comments,
all right,
a lot of different things, but I'll loop back in if I
find any questions. All good. It's funny, and I'm not going to like air it out aggressively, but I do want to bring this to the, because they won and I'm pumped. Yeah. I mean, pumped is strong. Happy. I don't know if I'm pumped. That's not going nuts here.
Yeah.
I'm happy and I'm mildly enthusiastic and hopeful for a better, tomorrow, and we'll see what happens. But, I talked last week about Woody. And I've aired my grievances with Woody, because after a while, the quarterbacks who don't work, we know who they drafted, the head coaches who don't work, recycle this guy and aging left tackle and this guy here and, oh, let's reach for this guy and do this trade. All right. There's always one correlation, and that's ownership. And Woody is not a good owner. He's not. It's not personal. I think he's the worst owner of football. Now, there's different types of bad owners. There's owners who are so disengaged that you can't stand them because they don't do anything for you. Like, man, just come. Like the Oakland A's. I mean, that's that's the height of disrespect. They didn't spend money. They had a dilapidated stadium. Everything they did was a scheme to leave their amazing. It's not like as big as a Yankee fan base or a Dodgers fan base, but I've been there and I lived in the Bay Area, so I know that fan base fairly well. Oakland A's fans, small in numbers, but amazing fans. And that guy did everything to disrespect them. That's not Woody. Donald Sterling, who aside from being a racist, was just cheap. He didn't spend. I mean, the practice facility was a dump, and that affected free agency. Not that he would even pay for free agent. So that's not Woody Johnson. Woody spends, and Woody is affable. But Woody is clueless. I'm looking at his tweets this week. You know, Woody, this is a PSA. Can somebody from the New York Jets, please, please, I won't curse here. I'll be nice and clean, and I'll be fairly succinct. So you but get this clip to Woody. Can somebody tell him? Actually, I'm going to tell him. Woody, nobody cares about your tweets about when a Garrett Wilson autographed helmet. Nobody cares when you're 2-6 before tonight. Nobody cares about what uniform combinations we're wearing or they're wearing and we're watching. Don't care. Yeah, it's fun when you're 6-3 or 5-2 or 4-1. Hey, oh, what are we wearing this year? Oh, nice. We got the black. We got the green. Oh, sweet. All right, cool. That's fun when things are, I don't know, going well. But when they're going the way they've been going, it's just tone deaf. And it's like, man, I read these and I'm like, how? And I'm sure somebody does it for them. And I know a lot of, you know, whether it's a billionaire or whatever, you know, people of prominence, they have people run their account. I would never let anybody do that for me, but a lot of people do, right? And if that's the case, I understand that there's a level of detachment from it, but you shouldn't be so detached to not know what they're tweeting, which I'm sure he does, and to not read the room a little bit better. I see a tweet with a pumpkin emoji this way. Oh, it's Halloween. Yay. You know, what are we wearing tonight? Let's spook the Texans. I don't know that he wrote that. I'm just throwing out alliteration or, you know, stupid stuff. I mean, come on, man. So Woody, when things are going wrong, as they often do, just lay out. You know, it's kind of like when you're at the casino and you know that you shouldn't go back to the ATM again. And you're like, yeah, I think this shoot's going to turn around. You're playing blackjack. And like an idiot, a couple of drinks in you, you walk over, you get hit with a $10, you know, casino fee, probably whatever it might be. You take out more money that you probably shouldn't risk losing. And invariably, because it's gambling and the odds are leaning toward the house, you lose. And you knew you shouldn't do it, but you did it. There's checkpoints, right? And one of the checkpoints for Woody should be, how is the team performing? Let me evaluate how we're doing for, you know, the thing that actually matters, how we play. The other ancillary stuff, I mean, I understand the marketing element. I get it. And I'm never going to get, you know, mad or whatever at somebody who's trying to engage with fans and, you know, a helmet or a signed jersey or free tickets like that. But you know what I would love to see once from Woody Johnson, tweet-wise, right? I'd love to see. Now, it's got to match his personality. I'm not saying he's not an alpha in the boardroom, because he is, but he's not an alpha like, I don't know why Gronk's name just popped up, but like not that prototypical meathead. He is a meathead alpha, but he's a cerebral alpha, right? So it's a different type of emitting of power. But once, in his own way, I would like him to convey to us in his words, don't try to be gangster or tough, because you're not. Stay in your lane and just look us in the eye and tweet and say, hey, Jet fans, no better fans in the world. This is unacceptable. Oh, yeah. And by the way, check out the Unkillable Pod. Hopefully he tweets that as well. I want to get him on here. I swear to God, it's one of my missions to get Woody on here. I told you that last pod. I'm not going to say it's definitely going to happen. I can't say it's going to happen at all. I am going to bust ass trying, And I promise Woody would get treated with respect, and it would be a cordial, not push. Otherwise, he's not coming on. Like if I had to agree to stuff, I'm not wasting anybody's time, his or mine or yours, more importantly. But I will treat him with respect. I will ask the questions that need to be asked. I would really jump at the chance to do that, because you deserve it, because you don't hear from him enough. And, you know, when he did the media session 2 weeks ago, yeah, when they got Adams. Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to call out the Jets or any media, because I think there's some great media members. I think the Jets media is good. Like, I think Connor's fantastic. I love Connor. Connor's good. Had him on my show on The Fan. I've interacted with him a few times on like DMs and stuff. I've got a lot of respect for his work ethic and his knowledge. He's good. I've always loved Samini. You know, these Jet guys, they're good people, men and women. But I didn't, you know, I feel like it's tough to really have that conversation with Woody, because, and I get it, because when I was in the media, growing up and bursting into the media, so to speak, or trying to burst into it, you know, you're at a scrum and you have a microphone, and you don't get the back and forth. You might get a follow up, but the way you get real dialogue and real answers is to have a purposeful conversation where you let the other person speak. You know, then you got to listen, and then you got to be ready to go when it's time to go. But that's where I think it would really be great for him and for you guys. So, but I think Woody's an easy target, and I stand by it. He's not a good owner. I mean, the record stands on its own lack of merit. I'm not making that up, but I really wish, because that bothers me. Like, I see these tweets, you know, within the course of my own workday, I'm like, what the hell is he doing? You know what? I'm going to actually read a couple. I'm going to read a couple now. I'm going to go to Woody's account. Speaking of Woody and his account, Google, this is, I'm sure not many of you know this, or some probably do. It's a while ago now. I tweeted Woody. He tweeted something. You know, I quote tweeted it, so I knew he'd see it. And this is when he was overseas serving for then President Trump. And he butt tweeted me. And there in the New York Post, Axe had t-shirts made up. It was like some incoherent rambling. It was unintentional, of like nine letters that didn't even form a sentence. I don't even know if there was any vowels in there. Like, it was the oddest looking thing. It was like a passcode. That you type in for the 30th time when you forgot your passcode, you just type in shit like this. I don't know, maybe. It was weird. And the Post picked it up. It was actually pretty funny. All right, so here, what a catch by Garrett Wilson. Jets win. All right, Woody, we could get behind that. Let's go. And then, all right, I mean, I'm not going to get mad at this, but I'm looking at it. I remember seeing this today. I'm like, there's a game day, right? Boom, game day. And then it looks like it's Brees and a couple of pumpkins with the Jets logo card. All right, it's Halloween. It's Halloween at our place. See you tonight. Not bad, but not anything that it just doesn't connect. The one before that. Who wants to sign again? I appreciate this, but not now. Offseason, Woody. Who wants to sign Garrett Wilson black mini helmet? Follow and retweet for a chance to win. And then there's the rules. All right. You know, and then the previous one, week 9, back at MetLife. Like, that's a good thing. Like, back at MetLife. Yay. I don't know. It's just too, but going white on green for Jets versus New England. That's just. Talk to us, man. Talk to us. You know, talk to us. Don't tweet at us. Communicate to us. And I mean that sincerely. Like, I'm rooting for Woody. I think he needs a little help with that. All right. So, Ev, hit me with one or two more. I want to end this on a positive note. The Jets have won. I think that there is a slight, teeny weeny, tiny, barely visible, but visible window to the last playoff spot. If they don't lose basically the rest of the year, well, if they don't lose the rest of the year, they're definitely in. That's unrealistic. Can you go 6-2? That's the magic number. If you go 6-2 and you get to 9, you're going to have a chance. Let me just look once more at the standings here. So, all right. You know, KC, Houston, the Steelers, the Bills. the Broncos at five. I mean, that does seem a little tenuous to me, but again, they're number five, so you got to respect it. The Ravens are six. They're really good. Then you have the Chargers and their winning record. Not amazing, but competent, great coach. You know, so they're 4-3. I'm not going to go through everybody's schedule now. I'll do a deeper dive. I'll tell you what we have coming up Sunday, since there's no game on Sunday. Then the Colts and the Bengals. And the Bengals are playing the Ravens next Thursday, as I said when we started tonight's pod. I mean, I don't necessarily think the Bengals are going to win, and then they lose. I don't think they're going to win. If they lose that, that's six losses, two wins. So I, or that would be three wins for them, two or three. I think that you guys need to lean in a little bit, because it's just, it's not easy and it's not fun. And when you get those little teeny weeny celebrations, I'm not saying you have to go over the top, maxing out here, popping champagne, enjoy the ride. Because really, if, and I mean this in all sincerity, and I am, I don't want to say I'm a negative tweeter with a lot of things, but for what I do for a living, discourse and discussion and engagement is usually fueled by things that are not good. I can put out, and I did, like, and it got engagement, like amazing catch by Garrett. By the way, that's a Jumpman commercial right there. That was that freeze still shot of Garrett Wilson with his legs out like Jordan. Wow. I could put that out, which I did. And I don't even know how many likes, or not that I really care. I'm not really fishing for it, but I want to show Garrett some love. And, you know, I'm sure there's some decent traction there. But if I tweeted something out like bench Rodgers and, you know, he sucked in the first half, put Tyrod in, give it a shot. Yeah, I guarantee that it's just going to be five, six, seven times more than, wow, what a catch by Garrett Wilson. Or, wow, great sound technique in the trenches on the by the left tab by Tyra, by whomever, whatever I'm talking about. You know, wow, what pad leverage there and disengagement and usage of the hands. Nothing. You know what I mean? So I do tend to slant a little, I wouldn't say negative, but more, I do enjoy being a little combative with these things. I think it's fun. I enjoy the passion. But don't forget how to enjoy some small checkpoints. That's all. And I'm not preaching. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. I'm doing it. And I enjoy tonight. All right, Ev, hit me with you know, a couple more, and then I'm going to bounce, man. I got an early morning. Yep. I want to get to sleep here. I want to watch the post-game press conference with Ulbrich, which I'm taping right now. Go ahead, buddy.
So we got two more. We actually have a ton of Bills fans that entered the chat. So they're just,
what do they want? What are they saying?
They're just talking trash about how, like, the division stinks outside of them, which they're not.
No, I mean, they're not wrong.
The question that I brought up in my head that I've kind of formed from the chat would be, who would you rather be a fan of? A Jets team where it's like they have the expectations and obviously they won one Super Bowl. Or the Bills team, who has the expectations, has lived up to it, but then
Bills
gets knocked out every year.
Bills. Yeah. Now the younger Bill fan won't feel this as much, but it would resonate with older Bills fans. I mean, listen, you want to win the Super Bowl, clearly. I got news for you. I mean, I'm kind of getting to the point where I'll even sign up now for just getting there. Yeah, I mean, because when you, even if you lose, and it sucks if you lose it, I think, not that I know, but think about the, you own the news cycle for, you know, 2 weeks. That means you win the conference championship game, which very well might be at your stadium. I mean, generally you get to the Super Bowl, it means, you know, unless it's like a one-off, and there are some historical examples that I won't get into now, but if you get to a Super Bowl, chances are you got a stud quarterback. Chances are you got a head coach that's, you know, pretty good. Now, I know that they love Allen, and I know that up until now, maybe it's changed a little bit this year back, and they love McDermott early. I know a lot of Bills fans were kind of going the other way, and I get it. I don't think McDermott's great. I think he's good. I think he's stable. I think there's another level that you could get from a coach. But if you have a Super Bowl appearance or two, you know, even the Falcons, when they were up 28-3, you had Matt Ryan. You know, you scored a lot of touchdowns that year. It was fun. So I think that that's more appealing. I mean, because there's no guarantee that our situation is going to ever pop through anyway. So, you know, so if I've got to sign up for one of the two options, give me one where even if I lose on the biggest stage, I, along with another team, am the biggest talking point in the most popular sport in our country. I'll take that.
Gotcha. And then there's just two more.
Yeah.
One from this guy, Ethan. He says, first time, long time. What's your opinion on Jamie and Sherwood long term? I feel like him and Williams could be our linebackers for a few
years. I like him. I do like him. He's flying around. He pops. He plays with pop. He hits a little bit. Excuse me. That water went down the wrong pipe. He moves. He's got a little juice. He's got a little style. I think he's got some... he just emits energy. You know, he emits prowess. Like, I feel like when he's around, I don't know. And I don't want to overreact to, I'm not saying, well, he looks good in the uniform, therefore he's an amazing. No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
And I don't think he'll ever be amazing, but he seems to do a lot of things, at least minimally speaking, fairly well. I'm going to check his 40 time. I'm curious. I wonder what he did when he was timed out coming into the league. But, you know, he's got some good lateral burst. He's not afraid to hit. I think more and more, like, they got to shore up that front. Like, they still get gashed by the run. First half, Texans ran all over them again. I believe I saw a stat first time in, what was the number that for the Texans? First time in 100 games or some really high number where they had 100 yards rushing the Texans in the first half. Huh. And everybody knows you can run on the Jets, but I like Sherwood. I do. I like Sherwood. I definitely like him. He pops off the screen enough for me where I'm like, I'm interested, and I watch him more and more closely each week. And I think more importantly, I trust him a little bit more each week.
Gotcha. And then the last one that I think, you know, might be even a topic on the radio tomorrow, but it's which catch do you think was more iconic?
Now that here we go.
OBJ or Garrett Wilson's catch tonight.
Now, iconic is the operative word there, because if you used difficult, impressive, I might have a different answer. Right now, iconic, it's still Odell. It was, well, like tonight, primetime game, but it was against Dallas. The ball they showed, it was all the way back. I mean, it was sick. The difference in terms of degree of difficulty, I'm going to give Garrett the advantage, because if you look at when Odell, now again, his arms all the way back, that was just sick.
Yeah.
But as he's falling backwards and making this catch going, his weight's obviously going backwards, and he's falling into the end zone. And but at the beginning of the end zone by the pylon. Now he's got to make sure he doesn't go out and go. But there was a lot of end zone to work with, right? Garrett had no room.
Yeah.
Had no room. He had zero margin for error. It was immediate ball, flesh, innate sense, trigger, brain, get something down, got it. So I think that the tougher catch was Garrett Wilson, and I think the more iconic catch was Odell.
Gotcha.
Do you agree with that, by the way?
I think so, yeah. Because I definitely think the way you worded it is definitely better, too, with iconic versus difficult, because like it's kind of like a recency bias a little bit, right? Where it's like you see it right away and you're like, that's got to be better. But then dissect it and you're like, okay, I think that probably more difficult. But this one, you know, getting that shin down, which nobody thought was even a thing. I didn't even realize a shin down was part of the thing at first. But
I wasn't even aware of that, too. Like, I'm like, oh, that is, I think that, oh, that is, that's true. Like, I wasn't 100% sure. I'll come clean on that. And the thing about the shin, unlike the foot that you can, like, manipulate and drag, like the shin, I'm not going to pull my leg on screen, but if this is my leg here, like, it's not bending. It's not pliable. Yeah. So the ability to manipulate the shin in limited space is almost zero, where you can contort your neck or, you could do anything else. Your hands here, a high, low foot, whatever. The shin, it's not moving anywhere. It's either going up or it's going down. That's it. So
crazy.
Great catch, man. All right, listen. We won the game. We won the game. What I'm going to do Sunday on the pod, because there's obviously no Jets game to go live for, I'm going to watch the games, and, I gave you kind of more of a cursory look at, not so much who the Jets play, I gave you the whole schedule, but I want to be able to watch these games this weekend, and then on Sunday night, I want to know where the Jets stand. Like, All right, it's one thing to get your third win and now say, all right, they could, and I want to see if they're favored against the Cardinals. Probably going to be really, really close either way. Maybe Jets. I got to say, we'll see. But there'll be, it's 2 points either way, I would imagine. Then the next game, you know, you're supposed to win that game. And as good as we feel about the growing, relatively speaking, possibilities to the Jets season, imagine if they get some immediate help this weekend. Denver, like a couple of teams that are in front of them lose. And now you're like, ooh, okay. So not only did the Jets bag a win that they absolutely had to have, and really, to be fair, I don't want to seem disingenuous. I thought the Patriots game was the one that they absolutely had to have. And that's probably going to be the one that keeps them out when it's all said and done. I didn't even go into this game saying, you know, if they win, there's a chance. Honestly, I just watched the game because I'm a Jets fan and there's nothing else to do because the Yankees are done. I didn't enter this game at all saying, all right, well, if this happens and maybe that. And that's tradition. Jets are on. I'm going to watch them and hope for the best and hope not to get embarrassed on national TV. You know what? It was embarrassing for the first half. And then the whole country tonight. I'm going to leave you with this. The whole country, well, those nut jobs who actually subjected themselves to this level of football, probably gamblers, watched it and like, oh shit, Garrett Wilson. Yeah, he is that guy. Everybody bagging on Rodgers. I'm not saying Rodgers is still Rodgers. He's not. Although that one scramble that he had that was called back was pretty sweet. He actually looked quick. Now I love that he finally ran. And he threw some great passes. And so those dissenting voices, and they have been accurate so far and on point, they're sitting there saying, oh, wow, Rodgers can still throw it a little bit. Oh, wow, Devontae Adams had a touchdown. Oh, Jets had 7 sacks. Wow, Reddick is scraping away the rust. At least you go to sleep saying, not a punchline and the respirator, they did not yank it out of the wall. And if they lost it tonight, the doctors would have come. I'm not to make light. I'm not even going to make that comparison, like that analogy, medically speaking. But you know what I mean. It would have been the end. So enjoy the win. I'm back on tomorrow at 10, obviously, with Sal, BT and Sal on the Fan. Hey, spread the word. You know, get this out there. And Bills fans, you guys are welcome. Hey, listen, don't get too cocky. Don't get too cocky because you haven't won anything ever. So I don't know, you know, keep jumping on your tables that are on fire. Actually, I like Bills fans. I'm messing with you, but I like that you try to infiltrate this pod, you know, and try to flex when we're down and you're up. It's all good. Have your fun. It's a long season. And even if the Jets don't do anything, and they probably won't, let's see if you guys do. Newsflash, you haven't yet with Josh Allen, anything that matters. So, but I do respect Josh and I do respect your fan base. And I do respect your team's better than I thought. I thought with some of the losses on D, Milano going down, Diggs leaving, some salary cap stuff, third level guys, getting cut. I thought you guys were going to take a step back this year. You didn't. I'm surprised and I'm impressed. You guys are a good franchise, but you jump in whenever you want. Get the word to a Patriot fan. We'll smack them around a little bit verbally, even though they beat us. I don't know if I can deal with a Dolphin fan. Like the Dolphin, there's just something different about the Dolphin fan. That's actually a future pod. Me actually breaking down each of the AFC East. That was just a little, glance shot. I mean, a thorough scouting report of all the fan bases. But spread the word, Jet fans. Have a great night. Happy Halloween, which, by the way, is now over. So it's officially November. It is officially November. And because of the win tonight, our team, it's not dead. All right. I'll see you Sunday on the pod. Have a good night, guys. Appreciate you. Thank you.